I'm not going to lie, Earth Day is a weird holiday to me. I get why it was created in the 1970s when people really weren't thinking about the environment. But now we know. Shouldn't every day be Earth Day? So even though yesterday was Earth Day, we're going to break the chains and go on an Earth Day outing on the Crown Point Peninsula that juts into Lake Champlain. And we're going to get in some poetry, too. That's today's story of the day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from the St. Lawrence County Community Development Program, now accepting applications for the Head Start program to prepare children ages 3 to 5 for school, online at slccdp.org/head-start.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. First up, North Country Congresswoman Elise Stefanik is leading the push to get the president of Columbia University to resign. This comes amidst pro-Palestinian demonstrations on campus and heightened tensions around the country over the war between Israel and Hamas. Emily Russell reports.
Since the war began back in October, students on college campuses around the U.S. have held both pro-Palestine and pro-Israel demonstrations. Also, during that time, the Anti-Defamation League reported a 360% increase in anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. In November, Columbia University in New York City established a task force to combat anti-Semitism. And then last week, students began to gather on campus in a pro-Palestinian demonstration. The university's president and members of its board testified in front of Congress last week. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik led that questioning. She pushed Columbia's president, Manoush Shafiq, about her prior testimony that the protests on campus weren't anti-Jewish.
Dr. Shafiq, you realize that at some of these events, the slurs and the chants have been F the Jews, death to Jews, yep. F Israel, no safe place, death to the Zionist state, Jews out. You don't think those are anti-Jewish?
Completely anti-Jewish. Completely unacceptable.
So you changed your testimony on that issue as well? So there have been anti-Jewish protests.
I didn't get to finish my sentence. So what I was going to say was there were protests that were called that were...
That's not what you were asked. You were asked, were there any anti-Jewish protests? And you said no.
So the protest was not labeled as an anti-Jewish protest.
I'm not asking what it was labeled.
Anti-Israeli government policy.
The question wasn't what it was labeled.
But anti-Semitic incidents happen, or anti-Semitic things were said.
As tensions heightened on Columbia's campus last week, the NYPD intervened, arresting more than 100 protesters on Thursday. Yesterday, President Shafiq moved all classes online. Governor Kathy Hochul visited the campus and said she spoke both with students and staff about the freedom of speech and about campus safety for all. Here she is in a video posted to X, formerly known as Twitter.
Students are scared. They're afraid to walk on campus. They don't deserve that. They deserve to be in an environment that is free from discrimination as required by state human rights laws.
New York's Republican delegation in Congress, led by Stefanik, published a letter on Monday calling for Columbia's president to resign. Stefanik led a similar push back in December after questioning the presidents of Harvard, UPenn, and MIT about anti-Semitism on college campuses. Just days after that questioning, the president of UPenn resigned. Stefanik tweeted, quote, one down, two to go, referring to the college president's resignation. Less than a month later, Harvard's president resigned. According to the Associated Press, there are pro-Palestinian encampments on other college campuses around the country right now, including at NYU, MIT, Yale, and the University of Michigan. Emily Russell, North Country Public Radio.
So not only was yesterday Earth Day, it's also National Poetry Month. So our reporter Todd Moe took a walk at the Crown Point Historic Site with David Cruz. Cruz is an editor, writer, poet, and outdoor enthusiast. Let's join them on their walk.
You know, most of my writing, most of my composing of new poems actually happens on the hiking trail these days. It's really quite incredible. I spend a lot of time at home revising, but when I'm actually composing something new, it's usually out in the woods. And I think there's just something about having my feet on the ground and those walking rhythms, you know, and I'm oftentimes there by myself and I'm disconnected from so much of the busyness of life, right? And that's where these poems just sort of, I almost can't help but write poems when I'm on the trail.
Did you have a poem you wanted to read or talk about?
I pulled a poem. It's a poem I wrote years ago, part of a manuscript that I've since sort of tabled. And it's a poem about Alexander Wilson, the ornithologist from the early 19th century. It's actually a poem I've never read before for a live audience, so I'm very excited to kind of share it. So the poem talks about Alexander Wilson, and it mentions some of the bird species that are named after him. And you may be aware of this, Todd, because we've mentioned it before, but this country in particular is currently, there are organizations looking to rename bird species that have been named after people. You know, I think this is going to be a little bit of a difficult change for some people, for bird enthusiasts. Also, if you think about every field guide that's out there is suddenly outdated, right? And now we're going to have to change and update a lot of that. But as far as a progress socially, culturally, to help the activity of birding and being out in nature to make it more safe and equitable for all people, right? That's sort of a progress, right? That's an evolution, which, of course, I'm in full support of. Mm-hmm. All right, so the poem is titled History Lessons. Shortly after immigrating to America at the age of 28, Alexander Wilson served as a teacher at various schools in Kingsessing and Gray's Ferry and studied during that time with writer and naturalist William Bartram, soon becoming the nation's foremost authority on birds. He was from the Scottish town of Paisley and as a young adult lived as a poor weaver and an undistinguished poet. Though during the years 1808 to 1813, he completed 8 volumes of American Ornithology, a colossal attempt to bring contributions in science to the forefront of American culture by cataloging 328 species sketched in outline and colored by hand with a description of each bird in habitat and life history. His explorations in science engaged a literary sensibility, a man who believed the study of nature often elicited a response in the poetic faculties, and one time recorded a 1,200-mile foot journey to the Falls of Niagara in a romantic narrative poem published serially in the Philadelphia Portfolio from July 1809 through March 1810. 1810 was also the year of a chance encounter with a one John James Audubon, and it mattered little at the time these two men were the only well-known ornithologists living in the country, for Wilson left with few kind words to say of the man, which perhaps comes from a great contempt for greatness and its lofty pursuit. His work, too, part of a larger vision to challenge the human need to control nature, as he often criticized the urge to destroy the living world regardless of consequence. And so, the story goes, in 1808, when the city of Philadelphia continued to permit the capture and slaughter of thousands upon thousands of robins to satisfy, as was said, the genteel palates of the feigned and unassuming merchant class, Wilson wrote an anonymous letter citing the toxic nature of robin flesh due to their heavy diet of pokeberries, which he knew to be untrue, a little lie meant for the preservation of species. So in celebration of his life, we have Wilson's storm petrel and Wilson's plover, Wilson's phalarope and snipe, and the black-capped, bright yellow Wilson's warbler. He died of dysentery on the 23rd of August, 1813, at the age of 47, and was buried in Old Swede's churchyard of Gloria D in the South Wark neighborhood, where now the nighttime sky illumines eternal in the radiant fire of a sprawling city.
That's Vermont-based poet David Cruz sharing a poem with our morning host and arts reporter Todd Moe. We have more news all the time on our website, ncpr.org. Music today by Oscar Sarmiento of Potsdam and Paul Meyer of Colton. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.